A quick note to any parents listening with children, this episode does contain some adult language.
It was like probably 5 solid minutes of me just like one hand holding onto something on the side of the creek and the other hand holding onto the rear wheel and just like not letting go.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Devin McCoy, and this is the Dirt Bike Journals.
Sasha, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for taking a minute to talk with me.
No worries, Devin. Too easy.
So I came across your profile on Instagram, and this video popped up that we're going to get to in just a little bit. And I started going through some of your stuff, and man, you ride motorcycles like a madman, to be honest.
I don't know about that. I mean, I do like to send it once in a while, but, you know, always trying to learn and get better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. So obviously with your accent, people know that you're from the land down under. Can you tell us a little bit of history, where you're from, either where you started and where you're at now?
Yeah, no worries. Well, you're right. I'm currently living in Australia. In Melbourne, which is like the second largest capital in Australia, that's all the way down south, in a state called Victoria. And yeah, I've been in Australia for probably the last 20 odd years. But previously to that, I was born and raised in Ukraine as a kid, and came down to Australia sort of in the mid 90s, and lived here ever since.
Wow, that's quite the journey. What took you from Ukraine to Australia?
Look, at that time when we moved here, it was around the mid 90s, and the Soviet Union just collapsed, and sort of like end of 80s, start of 90s, and my parents were like, "Yeah, gotta get out of this shithole. Nothing's happening here." So it was actually interestingly enough, it was either that or Canada. So I could have easily ended up in Canada.
Well, Australia is one of the most interesting and intriguing places I can think of on the planet. So yeah. what's the riding like out there? Is it friendly to OHV and dirt bikes and stuff?
Look, to be honest, I've only been into dirt bikes very recently. So just a quick history on my motorbike riding. I sort of started riding sports bikes maybe about 15 years ago. Watched some actually American stunt videos. That's what inspired me. Saw those guys doing wheelies on the freeway and shit. I'm like, yep, that's what I want to do.
Okay.
Then I got my license. At the time, actually, my parents didn't want me to get a license. They're like, nah, you get one, you get out of the house sort of thing. And so I put that off for a bit. And then my dad went through a midlife crisis, got a license and got like a, not a Harley, but like, a Jap equivalent. And then my mom got a motorbike license, and they both started giving me shit for not riding motorbikes.
No way. They just totally turned the tables around on you.
Turned it around. I started riding sports bikes and got really into it. We started this Facebook group called Melbourne Street Riders, which now is the biggest motorbike community in Melbourne. So that's really cool.
Oh, that's so cool to be the founder of that kind of thing. That's neat.
Yeah. So, check it out on Facebook if anyone's interested. And, end of 2019, my old man wanted me to do the Simpson Desert crossing with him. So if anyone sort of doesn't know much about Simpson Desert, it's like smack bang in the middle of Australia. And it's about a 600-kilometer crossing from east to west or vice versa through the desert. And my dad said, why don't you get a dirt bike and you can ride your dirt bike through the desert and I'll follow you in the four-wheel drive. Sounded pretty cool, so we went halves on a dirt bike, and that's the very first time I've ever ridden a dirt bike.
Holy crap, riding across the sand in the brutal desert. So
Yeah.
What kind of bike was it? What did you end up getting?
The same one that you saw in the video. I bought a brand new 2019 KTM EXC or XCW in the States, right. 300 TPI. So,
oh, man, cool.
I didn't know that you could actually get a road registrable two stroke because that was my requirement. It had to be able to be registered on the road because I do so much commuting and all that. And at the time, I didn't have a trailer or a car with a tow bar. So I thought, if I'm going to be going anywhere, I have to be able to ride there. So,
Well, that's pretty cool. So did it come with a street legal kit on it?
It did. I got it straight from the showroom, street legal. I actually rode it straight out of the showroom floor home.
Cool.
It was really cool. Like, I'd never ridden dirt bikes before. So, you know, compared to a sports bike, it's like way higher. You got the knobbies on the road. It's so much different. And I thought, shit, what'd I get myself into?
It also probably felt like a mountain bike with a motor compared to a sport bike.
It did. Yeah. So it took me a bit of time getting used to. And throughout, you know, the COVID pandemic in 20 and 21, I basically spent about, I don't know, on average 4 days a week just going up to the local mountain and just doing some trails.
Lucky.
It was so cool. Yeah.
Man, COVID for us around here where I live in Utah, nothing slowed down.
Oh, really?
I was at work every day banging out cabinets for people. And yeah, people got that COVID money and started spending it, and they wanted somewhere to spend it, and they had us build their remodels. So
No, that's fair enough.
So nothing really changed for me.
Man,
I wish I had time to just practice. I always think about it like, okay, I'm gonna go out to the rocks today, I'm just gonna work on my wheelies, I'm gonna work on this and that, and it never works out. I got kids, I got projects and work, and
I know what you're saying. I'm the same, to be honest. I've got two kids, and it's pretty hard, but you just gotta do it, you know. You gotta do it.
Yeah, and my kids are to the age now where they're starting to get onto the little bikes and they want to go ride with dad. So that's pretty fun. I can take them with me.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's really good. My kids, one of them's 7, the other one's 3. And with a 7-year-old, I got a bit excited. I got him a 50 SX for his birthday.
No way.
Yeah, and I was like, how cool is this? But I don't know if you've ever ridden the 50 SX. They're spastic. They've got a crazy band. And so, like, he went to ride it, and he flipped it, he looped it, and then he shat himself. So now he doesn't want to ride it. So,
Can you do the little governor mod on it, where you take out one of the washers and loosen up the spring so that the power band or the power valve opens up a little sooner?
You can.
Okay.
I haven't really experimented with it too much.
Yeah.
I actually got a little Sherco electric bike, like one of those little kids ones. And
Sherco makes an electric bike?
Yeah, it's like a balance bike with an electric motor.
But it's made by Sherco.
Yeah, the Sherco dealer had one. I was like, it's like my 3-year-old, he smashes around the house with it. It's great. It looks heaps of fun. Yeah,
that's what my 5-year-old does. They both got electric bikes, my 5-year-old, my 7-year-old, and they're just they go nuts on those little electric bikes, but they're getting to the point where they need some suspension. They're pushing it a little bit farther. So,
that's good.
Yeah. Well, so where were we here? We want to talk about your story. I mean, you got so many cool videos on your Instagram profile. I haven't even been through all of them yet.
Oh, jeez.
But the one that really caught my attention, let's talk about that for a minute. When I first watched this video and I saw you kind of mushing through the weeds and the water, and then there's a fast flowing river you're coming up on, I thought, there is no way he's going to try to cross this. And then sure enough, you went swimming. So walk us through it. Where were you? What was going on? What made you think you wanted to do it?
It was a bit of a retarded moment, but
it was basically ballsy.
Look, a little bit of background. It's like a local spot where I go training. When or if I would have crossed that that river, or it's more like a creek really. There's like a few log sections, and it's like an abandoned quarry.
Oh, cool.
On the other side, so there's like a bunch of little rocks that I practice hopping and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I've crossed this creek like dozens of times, you know. So granted, every time I crossed it, you know, there wasn't such a strong current. And what you can't see in the video is there's like a man-made concrete pillar underneath that creek right where I crossed it. So it's actually not that deep. And it's like a smooth concrete surface.
So that's what was creating that big ripple wave.
Yeah, yeah, because it sort of stops, and then you got the natural rocks, and that's what made that rip thing that you're talking about. Uh-huh. And I thought, all right, you know, yeah, it looks a little bit extreme, but I've done it before. Can't be that bad. And yeah, surely enough, swept me away straight away. Oh man.
Oh yeah. Myself.
That was crazy.
Yeah. And I gotta give you some props here, because you didn't. I'd have been cussing and screaming and just losing my shit, but you were just grunting and just holding onto the bike and just trying to fight with it. Just like, well, I made my bed, I guess I'll lay in it.
Have you seen part two? I posted part two.
I started watching part two just before we called.
Yeah, like it was like probably 5 solid minutes of me just like one hand holding onto something on the side of the creek and the other hand holding onto the rear wheel and just like not letting go. And I'm just like thinking, all right, well, I don't want to let go of my bike because
it's
cost me a lot to get a new one with all the freaking go fast bits I put on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, finally managed to pull it out to the side, and then, yeah, I guess the rest is just, you know, me trying to start it. And then I had to push it up this big hill as well, which is not in the video, but yeah.
So did you just tip it up on its rear wheel and let the water drain out for a little while and kind of dry fire it a little bit? What'd you do?
Yeah, I tried to put on the rear wheel, but it was really hard with one person. So
well,
I
yeah.
Yeah. You know? So I flipped it upside down, and okay. Like I reckon about two liters of water came out of the exhaust.
Oh my gosh!
And I was like, oh yeah, that should be okay. And then yeah, I tried to kickstart it and didn't want to start. I mean, it is a fuel injected bike, so I thought, you know, maybe the relay or something electric's stuffed up, which I found out later on that it did. The fuel pump relay. It went, but yeah, I took it home and I pulled the engine out, and I opened it up, and the bottom end was, you know, surely enough, you know, full of water. It was like a little swimming pool in there.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's all right. Emptied it out, washed it out, you know, put some two-stroke oil through it, and yeah, it's all good. Just now I'm putting it all back in the frame, and I'm probably gonna fire it up tomorrow.
That's cool.
Ready for the weekend, you know.
Yeah. So when did this happen? Was this earlier, like last week?
Yeah, this was literally last weekend. Yeah. Yeah. So it was after work, and I thought I should be able to, you know, squeeze in a couple of hours of training. It literally mm-hmm. happened. It was like the first 10 minutes of my ride. Got the bike off the trailer, went down this hill, got into this creek, washed out. God damn.
So, and you had the force of all of that creek pushing that bike down to the bottom of the riverbed too, and trying to drag it out over the rocks. The handlebars were probably like hooking on weeds and rocks and stuff on the bottom. Holy crap! Was it cold?
Nah, it was like really really humid that day. So recently we've had a bunch of like mid 20 degree Celsius days, but mm-hmm. it's also been very wet this spring, because it's spring right now in Australia. Yeah. And so that particular weekend, it was like there's a lot of rain, but also it was sunny, and not sunny but like warm, so it was humid outside. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't too bad on that front, but yeah, okay. Obviously I got all drenched. Yeah.
Yeah, you were full on swimming.
Yeah, man, it was crazy.
So was the push out very, I mean, so did you trailer to there or were you riding from work?
No, I trailered to the spot and I parked maybe about a kilometer or two up from that site. So, and the creek was like sort of in a gully. So there was a hill that I had to push the bike up and then, the rest. Yeah. It was pretty crap, but you know, that's some of the things you got to do sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, that's pretty cool. So, I saw in a couple of your other videos, one of them you were doing, you were climbing up some, it looked like a man-made structure and you were doing a wheelie or something, but you were almost stopped. Is that what I was seeing?
Which one was that?
God, I can't remember. It was in one of your posts, one of your reels, but, it's impressive, man. You've only been riding dirt bikes for how many years?
Since end of 2019. So what's that? Two years. But look, to be fair, I got into stunting, like stunting sports bikes. I found that a lot of that, like slow wheelies, not that I was really that good at it, but I think the most important thing I learned was how to stack and not die. You know, and it's
so
it's
say important. Again, how to do what?
How to stack but not What's die. That? Well, you know, like fall over, you know, like when you have a crash.
Yeah.
Because you know, with learning, you know, stunting or slow speed wheelies or anything technical, mm-hmm. you tend to fall over heaps. And I think the most important thing is being able to fall over in a controlled manner or safely so that you can repeat that heaps of times.
I'm trying to get the slow wheelie down and I don't know. I can never commit past 10 o'clock. You know, once I get up towards 11, I totally feel out of control and the bike flops over to the left or to the right. And just getting past that point where I can feel that balance. I've had it a couple of times and it feels cool, but at the same time, my feet want to go to the ground. I want to get back, you know, into my equilibrium and I just lose it. It's so frustrating.
Well, I had a look at some of your stuff. You got a YZ250X. Is
that right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's an awesome bike. And it looks like you do a whole bunch of rocks and all that.
Yeah, we do a lot of hard enduro rock riding, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, so you'd be running like gummy tires and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like pivot turns. That's like one of the most important things I reckon in hard enduro.
Yeah,
and that's basically a slow speed wheelie and pop it straight up to 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been practicing those a little bit because they are getting more and more useful as the gnarlier we get with our riding. So
definitely, yeah, definitely.
Well, that's pretty cool that I found all your stuff because you do some really cool things, especially with the sport bikes and the stunt riding. So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing more content from you.
Oh, cheers! Yeah, I sort of tried to mix it up between you know, single trails and street. We've got a local mountain here, not far from where I live, and it's hard enduro heaven. Like they've got some freaking awesome stuff there. Mainly like dirt, you know, like muddy hill climbs. Then you got like some rocky creeks and things like that. There's a bit of stuff of that on my social media, but I don't know. I find that like filming hard enduro, it's pretty hard.
It is really hard.
Yeah. Like you just don't get to see like actually how hard it is.
Yeah, the camera always makes it look like it's not that steep. I see people hitting these 4-foot ledges. I'm like, well, that doesn't really look that steep. It's like a 30% grade, and it's not. You know, it's not. They wouldn't post it if it was something so easy.
That's right, exactly. You know, you do it in real life, you're like, oh, far out. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the first time you really got on a dirt bike and you rode it across the desert. How was that experience? Cause that probably wasn't a do it in a day kind of thing.
Yeah, that was a 3-day trip. So we started, that's cool. Yeah. So it was like a two days to drive and the bike was on the back of the car when driving to sort of the starting point, and then it was 3 full days of just riding through the dunes. It was a lot of fun because I didn't have to carry anything with me like an adventure rider would, you know. I just just go and then, you know, wait half an hour until the four-wheel drive rocks up and then keep going. That was really fun. But there's another desert that's in our state. Like, I don't have to go to the middle of Australia. And I found it to be just as much fun, like for a day trip, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like Simpson Desert's like a, you know, it's three. You gotta put away 2 weeks to do that trip properly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was one I was, I can't remember the couple that I was listening to on a podcast. They were crossing the desert in Australia, but it's huge. I wanted to say it was like a week. It takes you a week to ride across it, and there's really no trail. You have to navigate by GPS, or if you don't have that, you navigate by the stars. I don't remember what it was called, but holy crap, they talk about just kind of losing hope towards the end, and they just start riding in the night, and they see these lights bobbing over the horizon, and they just lock onto those and ride for another hour and finally roll into this little town, maybe just like a couple of buildings even, at like 3 a.m. and just collapse in this guy's little house. So, man, Australia is wild. You guys have some crazy stuff down there.
It is very easy to lose yourself in the desert, but mm-hmm. even in the state forest or national parks here. I mean, I've got a Garmin eTrex, which is like, you know, mm-hmm. like a GPS. Without that, you know, really hard to navigate through singles that you've never been through before.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So you still have the same KTM. You're still riding that. It's going strong. Hopefully it'll fire up tomorrow.
I reckon it will. Look, I mean, it's, what is it on? It's on like 360 hours now. Ooh. So, I mean, I just like, you know, I ride it everywhere, you know, and I reckon the more hours, the better. Like, you know, I don't know how guys do it. Like, you know, 10-year-old bike, 100 hours. Doesn't make sense to me. It's like, do you even ride, dude? You know?
Yeah. I'll put probably 40 to 60 hours on mine, I think, in a season.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Something like that. So, yeah. I try to get out and ride as often as possible. But, you know, I haven't made my bike go swimming yet. And I'm terrified of doing that because, I don't know. I mean, it's a two-stroke. There's not a whole lot you can screw up. But at the same time, it just scares me to sink my bike.
Oh, look, I wouldn't recommend doing that. So you learn from my mistakes, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Creek crossings are always sketchy, though, so you never know.
Yeah. Look, I should have walked it, like, to be fair. And a few people in the comments have mentioned that.
Armchair critics.
But look, to be fair, that is a legitimate comment to make. And this is what happens. Like, if you've done stuff before, you just get a bit overconfident. And that's what happened in my scenario. I've crossed that creek before. I thought, how hard could it possibly be? That's where, you know, the rookie mistake comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Sasha, thanks for taking a few minutes with me and telling your stories.
No problem at all. That's just, I don't know if you can hear that sneezing in the background.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, that's one of my little kids. Yeah. Oh. But yeah, no problem. I appreciate you giving me a call, Devin.
Yeah. And I look forward to seeing more of your content. So I'll keep watching.
I'll post something up this weekend just to prove that it's back in action.
Excellent. I'll look for it.
All right, Devin, too easy.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review so the Dirt Bike Journals will continue to grow. Also, if you have a story you'd like to share, please reach out to me on Instagram @TheDirtBikeJournals, on Facebook, or at my email, thedirtbikejournals@gmail.com.